Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Sometimes I don't know. Whoa. Sometimes I don't know. I just don't know what to feel. Sometimes I don't know.
The music of ambivalence. Sometimes I just don't know what to feel. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York. WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. An All Calls Friday Brian Lehrer show today. You are the experts. You are the newsmakers. You are the guests. And our call-in of ambivalence right now. What are you ambivalent about? Ambivalence, welcome here. Nuance, welcome here. Shades of Gray, welcome here. Louise in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
I feel very ambivalent, I'm sure, like many people, concerning Israel and Gaza. I get it about Israel and their need to defend themselves and protect themselves from those tunnels that are coming from Egypt and then going into Israel. But my heart is just broken for the devastation that's going on in Gaza and what's happening to the innocent people there. I don't know what to think concerning Hamas and the citizens. It's got me confused and really questioning how I feel about the political situation there. I don't know what to think.
Did you move from more certainty on one side of it to the ambivalence that you have today?
No, I think I've always had a sympathy for
both sides.
For the people in Gaza.
Uh-huh.
I think I've had a sympathy and an understanding. But I know people that live in Israel, and I feel concern for their safety, for their right to exist, and I believe that should be recognized. And Hamas is considered a terrorist organization. I can get all of that into my brain, but my heart has maybe it's my heart that's ambivalent. Mm-hmm.
Louise, thank you. Thank you very much. Good start. Doreen in Valley Stream, you're on WNYC. Hi, Doreen.
Happy Friday, Brian. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I'm ambivalent about the issues that have been publicized lately about the problems with lethal injections and the questions that it's raising about the death penalty.
Three botched lethal injections in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
This last one this week took the guy 2 hours to die.
Yeah, and there was a whole thing about the governor being called, that, you know, that the messages were going through the governor and that the stay of execution was not, you know, was not happening. And then the whole thing about cruel and inhuman punishment, whether it constitutes cruel and inhuman if an injection or other, like an electrocution attempt, goes awry, and can you then punish the person again and carry out another death sentence upon them? So this is all getting really, really hairy, and I'm ambivalent about a lot of it.
So what's your pro-death penalty side if you're ambivalent?
I am, I have to say, very, very reluctantly that I am pro-death penalty. At the same time, I don't really believe in the concept of jails for most people. So I have a lot of opinions about this. I believe more in restitution, genuine demonstrations of remorse and of payback than I do in punishing people. The current situation with DNA analysis becoming much more sophisticated, in which we have things like Project Innocence, proving that people who have been incarcerated sometimes for decades and have had their entire lives destroyed by our judicial system and our criminal justice system, forces me into a situation where I know full well that someone could be sitting on death row and in fact be innocent. So this pricks my conscience
deeply. Doreen, I'm going to leave it there. air and get some other folks on. But
okay, very good.
Deep ambivalence about the death penalty running both. We have another one. Why don't I do that right now? Can I go to Rebecca in Hoboken on line 10, and we'll get two in a row ambivalent about the death penalty on the record here? Oh, she hung up. Okay. So we have a couple of open lines now. What are you ambivalent about? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Ethan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ethan. What are you ambivalent about?
Hi, Brian. I'm ambivalent about dieting, especially the paleo diet that's been going around. You see all these new fads of what's best to eat, what's not, every year. And this is a new one that a lot of people are saying, you know, kind of get back to the garden, get back to our roots. And this is how we've evolved genetically and how we should be eating. And I see the argument, but I also see that it's unrealistic. It's not necessarily sustainable in our society. And I just really don't know what to think about it.
Thank you very much. Valerie in Farmingdale, what are you ambivalent about?
Well, I thought ambivalence meant you didn't have an opinion and you don't want to have an opinion and you frankly don't care.
It's a little more apathy, right?
Yeah, I really don't care. And my big thing that I'm ambivalent about is what the Kardashian girls are doing. I close my eyes at the stand. I don't want to know them, and I don't nor marrying.
Well, it's not quite ambivalence. We'll call this apathy. We'll call this...
Okay, it's apathy. All right.
We'll call this dripping with contempt. Valerie, thank you very much. All right, Frank in Westfield, you're on WNYC. What are you ambivalent about other than the Kardashians?
Hello, Brian. Yeah, I'm ambivalent about the immigrants coming in from Central America. On the one hand, I think there ought to be, you know, rules and a system for bringing people in formally. But on the other hand, I'm very much against sending these people back. I think they need compassion. And more importantly, the most important point I want to make is that these are unique people. Anybody, whether it's from fear or hunger or whatever, that can pick themselves up and travel 2,000 miles or whatever it is and go on their own are people the United States needs.
Frank, thank you very much. Phyllis in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. What are you ambivalent about?
Good morning. I'm ambivalent about having so much news about the mayor's vacation in Italy.
Not about the mayor's vacation itself, but about having so much news coverage of it?
Yeah, well, he can go and have a very lovely time, but all the news coverage is what I'm ambivalent about.
So is there a part of it you like? Or are you you're not really ambivalent about it.
I'm a little critical, yeah.
Thank you very much. As we continue to clarify the definition of ambivalence for some of the callers, Liz in Montclair, you're on WNYC. What are you ambivalent about? Hi.
Hi, I'm ambivalent about the Women Against Feminism trend on on Twitter and Facebook. I have two sides. First, I was really frustrated. I'm a woman who works in a male-dominated field, and I feel like I need feminism, and I'm a feminist. But I also kind of sympathize with some of the things they've posted because I do feel a little bit isolated by some radical modern feminism.
Like what? What's come up?
Some of the things that have come up are, the radical sort of Tumblr feminism and some of the things on the internet that seem to take feminism away from equality between men and women. And I understand that.
And to what? If it's leaning against emphasizing equality between men and women, what is that feminism that you don't like emphasize?
I think there's a feeling of making it seem like the sort of like men are pigs type of feminism that some people don't relate
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with it is that I think feminism is a really wonderful thing, and that sort of feminism makes it not a wonderful thing. And I think that the irony of it is that the Women Against Feminism concept is rooted in what feminism is. I mean, the ability for women to be able to say these things is feminism.
Liz, thank you very much. And we'll do one more. Jessica in Bernardsville. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Brian. Good morning.
What are you ambivalent about?
I'm ambivalent about visiting the 9/11 Memorial Museum. I have relatives coming in from Texas, and they told me the first thing they want to do is go there. And it brings up in me a lot of ambivalent feelings I've had about the site for a while, and I'm very conflicted about whether I think a museum should be there at all. And so their visit is kind of bringing up in me these questions, and I don't know whether I will agree to go with them.
Well, they could go on their own, right?
That's true. I think just the site itself and what it represents to Native New Yorkers versus people who were not here for that event.
Yes.
I just don't know how best for, you know, how that place, where that place stands.
You know what might be good?
In our lives. And it's just hard for me to kind of brought to the surface all of the ambivalent feelings I've
right.
had about how that site was used as a memorial.
Yes. So not to presume, but maybe it would be interesting if your friends from Texas go on their own. They can get to Lower Manhattan from, you know, Bernardsville, or you go and drop them off and go do something else. Let them see the museum, and then you have a conversation about them with it afterwards. Get their Texan's eye view of it. You said Texas, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then you'll figure out more about how you feel about whether to go see the memorial yourself.
I think that's what I need to do because I feel very strongly about it, and maybe it would help to have that conversation because maybe my view is not – maybe it'll help me get to the truth of what I really think about the place as a memorial site.
I hope it works out, Jessica. Thank you very much. All right. So there are your calls of ambivalence. Now part two. For the non-ambivalent among you, call in and convince the ambivalent callers you just heard about anything they were ambivalent about. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We were taking notes, so we heard somebody ambivalent about the death penalty, someone ambivalent about Israel and Gaza, the paleo diet, child immigrants, the Women Against Feminism hashtag on Twitter or Facebook, and visiting the 9/11 Memorial Museum. I'd say we don't count the Kardashians on this list, right, or coverage of the mayor's vacations. But I'm sure that many of you are having strong reactions on one side or the other of some of these questions. So now it's your turn, non-ambivalent listeners. Let them rip. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Call in and convince your ambivalent fellow listeners who you just heard to your side of the argument or your point of view or whatever you are more convinced that they are, than they are is right and true on any of the things they were ambivalent about. 212, and by the way, our lines are already full, 212-433-WNYC for the non-ambivalent among you on the death penalty, Israel and Gaza, the paleo diet, child immigrants, Women Against Feminism, the hashtag on Twitter or Facebook and how it's used, or visiting the 9/11 Memorial Museum, 212-433-9692. And we'll take your calls of non-ambivalence right after this. WNYC, you are the experts, you are the newsmakers, you are the guests. It's an all calls Friday on the Brian Lehrer Show today, and now your call-ins of non-ambivalence to convince the ambivalent people who came before you. And maybe we'll go in reverse order. So Ed in Manhattan wants to talk to the woman not sure whether to visit the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. Hi, Ed.
Hello, good morning. I saw the buildings hit. I was on the Belt Parkway heading towards the Throgs Neck Bridge, and I saw the buildings hit. It took me until 2 months ago for me to go into my head and say I could go down and look at that place and see what happened there and think about all those people and the various tragedies. I went there. I felt like I had a cone of silence around myself because there was too much photography, too much chit-chat, too much taking pictures of people and of visitors to make you are their pictures. But when just being there and being alone within myself was an amazing cathartic experience.
Ed, thank you very much. Judy in Huntington, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
You're not ambivalent about the Women Against Feminism hashtag?
No, because the caller that gave her definition of feminism is absolutely wrong. Feminism means equality for women, and that's all it means.
Thank you very much. Peter in Glen Ridge calling about the listener who is ambivalent about the death penalty. Hi, Peter.
Right. I was thinking about this because I have this idea. I have this idea, and it could be like a computer program, like they do the tax forms. Okay, now, this is my best idea that people convince themselves. You only know two things, and this is like your priorities are innocent people being killed. I don't want innocent people being killed. And then the other meter you have is revenge for the guilty. And you budget your money, and you basically don't know what you're budgeting it for. And you're stacking up dollar bills on this, okay, $1 million to this, and you just see how these numbers change. In other words, when you put a lot of money on that pile to increase revenge on the death, then the numbers go up for innocent people being killed because you didn't hire cops with them.
And,
so basically,
and the consequences of innocent people being killed are worse than the consequences of erring on the other side, is what you're saying.
And it's just that you might say, oh, this is my optimum. Just looking at the meter, you might say, oh, this is my optimum budgeting of money. The number of innocent people being killed is lowest there, although my revenge for the guilty is also down to nothing.
Right.
And what's happened is that you budgeted money toward hiring police, toward mental health programs, toward better judges, and you haven't put any money in the millions of dollars it costs to kill someone. In other words, when you don't know what you're budgeting it for,
right,
specifically.
So you're helping more people along the way, even in that process.
You're allocating your money according to
all
the
right
outcomes.
So,
and then you don't.
So let's get a little people's debate going here, because Jonathan in Manhattan is calling in to convince that ambivalent caller that the death penalty is necessary, right, Jonathan?
Yes, sir. From what I went through, I had a friend that lost both her mom and her dad in California, and
to murder.
Of course, it was a double murder, and the person that committed it didn't get the death penalty, obviously, and it seemed that the person, that my friend just lost out on the...
Oh, his line just dropped off.
Hello?
Unfortunately, his line just dropped off. But Peter, I guess he's got an argument out there for you to respond to.
My argument would be...
They didn't feel enough justice was done.
The $5 million of... Okay, the cost of appeasing your sense of justice, $5 million, believe me, you'd be better off hiring cops and not having that murder to begin with. You really have to put that desire. I mean, I would love to, John Lennon said give peace a chance, but I'd like to tear the head off of that Chapman guy. But I have to put that anger aside and say, take that money and hire cops, and let's not have more crime.
Peter, thank you very much. All right, Ben in Brooklyn is calling to respond to the listener who is ambivalent about the paleo diet. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Great show.
Thank you.
So I did the paleo diet strictly for just shy of 3 years. I stopped a year and a half ago, so right now I'm eating kind of, I don't know, standard, I guess. But I will say that I saw absolutely no downsides. Many of my friends that have all different lifestyles also did it for pretty long periods of time. And my strong feeling is just simply that, unlike most other fad diets, there really is no downside to the paleo diet. I don't think everybody has to do it. And I think there are other ways to skin the cat as well. But there's simply nothing wrong with it. I mean, eating meat and vegetables and avoiding processed foods is simply kind of unassailable.
So you're telling that guy, hey, give it a shot at least.
Yeah, absolutely. There's really no downsides. I mean, I've never heard somebody come back and say it's terrible, unless they just really love Snickers or processed foods or something.
Do you get, well, some people could say it's too much meat, right? The vegetarians probably don't like it.
Yeah, but you know what? Really, the idea is just avoiding certain things rather than, like, eating tons of meat. You know, the way most paleo people kind of explain it is avoiding grains, avoiding dairy, avoiding legumes.
Mm-hmm.
You can eat tons of kale and broccoli and all those kind of things, and just a smidgen of meat if you wanted. I mean, certainly the headlines are always saying, oh, it's a total meat diet with just a little bit of vegetables. It doesn't have to be that way at all. It's more about excluding these certain items rather than saying you have to eat X, Y, and Z.
Right. Though I can turn that around on you and say, aha, yeah, this starts a conversation about how our diets are so based on excluding things rather than what we should eat, diets of inclusion. But that's another conversation. Ben, thank you very much. Debbie in Bergen County on the Israel and Gaza ambivalent caller. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Brian. Okay, so it's a very loaded topic, obviously. I'm going to start by saying I am pro-Israel. However, I do see both sides. I do see how people are very upset by the humanitarian crisis going on in Gaza. I get it. I really do. The two points I want to make is that, first of all, the reason why there are so many more deaths, civilian deaths in Gaza than there are in Israel is not for lack of trying. The reason is because there's absolutely no protection for the Palestinian civilians. There has nothing been put in place. There are no bomb shelters. There's nothing. And it's not, you know, it's because, you know, and then in Israel you go, you know, every time a siren goes off, they go running to their bomb shelters. So it's not for lack of trying. You know, there have been, I don't know, 2,000-something rockets, you know, launched into Israel. The fact that it hasn't killed all that many civilians is, you know, first of all, they have the Iron Dome, and second of all, they have the bomb shelters, whereas on the other side in Gaza, not only do they not have bomb shelters, but they encourage their civilians to go stand where the rockets are being launched to. You know, the Israelis are trying to decimate the rocket launchers in Gaza, and then the Hamas go ahead and encourage their civilians to go stand around and wait to get killed. Not only that, but when the Israeli army drops leaflets into an area saying, we're going to be, you know, bombing this area, every civilian, please get out. If they leave, if those Palestinians say, oh, my God, they're going to bomb my building, let me take my valuables and leave, they have Hamas to answer to. Hamas gets very upset because they want this humanitarian crisis. They want the media to come into Gaza and say, oh, look at all the civilians that are being killed. Oh, my God, this is horrible. So they're encouraging their civilians. Not only are they protecting their rocket launch pads with civilians, you know, but they're actually encouraging their civilians to go and stand there and get killed. Yes.
So Debbie, I'm going to leave it there, and I thank you very much. And we're going to get the other side of that one for our ambivalent listener from Isham in Albany. Isham, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. Good to talk to you. I'm pro-Palestinian, Brian, you know, and I'm actually emotional just by talking about it. And I'm shocked how people feel sorry for the killer, not for the civilian and the innocent people that are dying in Gaza. So far, 800 people died. In 2008, 2009, 1,400 people died. 75% are innocent. To answer the callers who just called, people are not willing to leave their houses. They left their houses for years, and they lost all the country. You know, I got to tell you this. I was watching CNN, and it was an interview, and the woman lived in Gaza. She's actually an American from L.A. or from Florida. And she said, this is my home, and I'm not going to leave it. So that's her response. They'd rather stay in their home. They'd rather protect the land and leave.
Do you
die.
Do you disagree with the caller before you when she said that the leaders of Hamas actually on one level want this humanitarian crisis, and so they have the tunnels and the missile launchers and stuff around civilians so that Israel, in the course of protecting itself, will wind up killing civilians and then the world will be horrified at Israel?
Well, here's the fact, Brian. Gaza has been under blockade for several years. What that means is nothing will go out, nothing will go in. Okay? Imagine this. It's like a huge prison, open. You know, there's the sea. There's Egypt closing the borders. Israel is a wall. We live in history. When we look back 10, 20 years from now, we should be ashamed of ourselves. Why? Because nobody's saying the same. And number two, Hamas is not telling people to leave their house. Gaza, watch Al Jazeera. People are afraid to watch Al Jazeera. What's the other side to see what they say? They don't want to leave their houses, Brian. They are losing their houses. They are losing their country. Here's the thing. Two types of warnings Palestinians are receiving before bombing their houses. First of all, is a phone call. Imagine this. A phone call to ask you to leave your house, Brian. Your house that you worked hard to buy. You raised your kids. Maybe your father, your grandfather lived there. Number two, they do what's so-called the knock on the door. They send you a lighter missile that killed already dozens of Palestinians itself. And then this missile basically will give you a minute to 5 minutes to leave your house. Imagine you have kids. You know, just imagine this, picture this. And guess what? 5 minutes, not even. 3 minutes later, they will send a much stronger missile that will destroy your house and kill your family, Brian, and kill your family and your kids.
Hisham, I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate your call. And Debbie in Bergen before him, I appreciate your call as you try to convince our listeners from either side our listener who had called in ambivalent about the Israel-Gaza situation. And there's our two-part call-in on ambivalence. Those of you who were ambivalent about one thing or another, and those of you not ambivalent who tried to convince them to your side. Thanks to all of you for your calls.